Hello? Okay, there we go. Hello, how's everyone doing today? Good. Well, I hope everyone's doing great. This is my first time, so sorry if it's a little everywhere, but I'm just gonna start here today with a question. How many of you like sports? Yes? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, me too. Maybe it's soccer. Anyone watch the Euro Cup or Copa America? I was rooting for Spain and they did it. Copa America, on the other hand, I was rooting for Colombia. Didn't work out, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. Now I'm gonna ask one more question. Has anyone ever been inside a stadium during a game? Maybe it was a baseball game or a football game. Now I wanna see your raise of hands. If anyone has been to a stadium during a soccer game. Okay. Now, how loud was it? Was it pretty loud, huh? Have you watched the Euro Cup and Copa America? You can barely hear the announcers talking. It's so loud, you can't hear. I just imagine, I've never been to one myself, but I can just imagine how loud. But just like how you become surrounded by noise in a stadium, sometimes that can be our lives. And there's so many things going on in life and so many things that compete for our attention every day. I mean, we have like work, we have busy schedules, and sometimes I think maybe you can get so busy with it that it takes over. And maybe it's family, maybe you have worries about other family members and family trouble, that's creeping in on your mental and spiritual health. Or maybe it's social media. That's a big one. I can even relate. Our phones are powerful devices, very powerful. And maybe you can't s seem to get off your phone. Maybe you're scrolling on TikTok or who knows what you're doing. Or maybe it's politics. I mean, the election is coming up. Maybe you're worrying yourself. Who will be in office next? Or what's our nation going to be like? Or the future? Maybe you just worry yourself to death. Well, we have so many things, so much noise. And sometimes we really forget what matters. Where God can come into our schedule. And spending time with Him and listening to His voice. Now, you might be wondering, now how can we cut through this noise of the world? And how do we know what the voice of the Lord is? And how do I know if I'm listening to the right voice? Well, today my message is titled Hearing God's Voice in the Midst of Noise. And I'm going to go through 1 Samuel, where there was a boy in the Old Testament, and he experiences the voice of the Lord. Now, if we can all open up to 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3. Okay, I'm going to read the whole chapter. I think it's good if we read the whole thing. Starting with verse 1. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." I ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and laid down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." I'm going to stop right there. Before we get any farther, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. I mean, it's a Sunday, and we don't just get one service or two service, but a third service. Just coming here as one body to be with you in your presence. And thank you. Thank you for your unending grace and everything you give to us. And bless this time we have today as we're diving in your word. In your name, pray, amen. So, before we get into this passage, we need some backstory because there's a few chapters before this. So, it starts out with Hannah. That's Eli's wife, right? And she was not able to bear any children. And the other wife of Eli, Peninnah, did. She taunted her. She taunted Hannah and this really made Hannah sad. She cried. She cried and cried and cried. She was not able to have children. So Hannah called out to the Lord. But she didn't just call out to the Lord and say, "Give me a son." She said, "Please give me a son, but I will dedicate him to you." And the Lord answers. And she bore a son and she named him Samuel. Then in the next chapter, we see how the two sons of Eli of and Peninnah, they were dishonoring the house of the Lord. And really, they were insulting. They were insulting the Lord. And the two sons, they didn't know God at all. They totally dishonor. But yet Eli, he still honored his two sons over God. Then we get to chapter 3, and it starts off with Samuel ministering to the Lord. Now, just take note that Samuel did not really even know the Lord at this time. And he was 12 years old, and he was most likely doing some religious practice of some sort. And like, for example, like how we go to church. I mean, you can be very young or you can be very old and you can go to church and that doesn't mean anything. It's all you get your application from church. And so he didn't know the Lord, just full on. He didn't know the Lord yet, but he was still ministering to the Lord. Then we get to this point where Eli goes to lay in his place and Samuel goes to lay down in the temple. And I'm going to rephrase this again. So The Lord, or Samuel goes to lie down. He goes to lie down over here, and then he gets hears a voice and says, "Samuel." And I'm only thinking, well, he doesn't know where this is coming. Who is this? So he's thinking, oh, it's Eli. So okay, so he's going to Eli, and probably thinking he needed help with something. And Eli says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back, just go back and lay." So he went back. I mean, Samuel was an obedient boy, so he went back and he laid down, and once again he hears a voice, "Samuel." So he goes back and says, "Eli, here I am." And Eli says, "I did not call you. Go back, go back." And then so he goes back and lays down, and for a third time it says, "Here, Samuel." So he goes back to Eli, and at this point I would just think Eli is just like kind of frustrated at this point. Why are you here? Just go back. But no, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. And Samuel comes here and says, "Here I am." Eli says, "I did not call." So, but this time it's something different. He notices that it's the Lord. He notices that that's maybe the Lord calling him. So he says this time, "Samuel, when you go back, say this. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So he goes back to lay down, and he lays. And for the next time, he hears a voice, and it says, "Samuel, Samuel." And this time he answers, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This is a 12-year-old boy who doesn't know God for himself yet, and yet he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I think this is kind of part of the reason why it's so hard to distinguish and actually experience the voice of the Lord. We don't know how to listen. So, this summer, our cousin from Albania came for a few days, and me and my brother Noah, we wanted to have a cousin outing to Culver's, and just the cousins, just us. So I went in one car, and he took the other car with kids. I took one car with kids, and he said, "Okay, Nathan, go to Culver's." So I went to Culver's, and I was driving, driving, and I get a call from Noah saying, "Nathan, what are you doing? Where are you going? Go to the Culver's 5 minutes away." So I was going to the wrong Culver's. So I said, "Okay, well, I'll travel back on the highway." And I'm going, oh, the ramp's closed, so I have to go to the next exit. And you get there. I probably pass about two Culver's on the way. And at this point, it's like a took so many detours. It was 30 minutes, which should have been a 5 minute drive. And I get to Culver's finally. And then I get another call from Noah saying, "Nathan, you're at the wrong Culver's." So at this point, I'm not going to that Culver's. It's on. I went to the wrong Culver's again. But yes, long, full story short, don't listen to Noah. Maybe it wasn't all that. Maybe it was both of us. We both had some things that we had to, yeah. But we didn't. I did not know how to listen. Maybe it was more than that, but I didn't know how to listen. I wasn't listening. But that's what I'm just saying. We don't know how to listen. I mean, in this day of age, we can't even seem to listen to each other. We're either glued onto our phones, or we're too busy in life that we just put the rest on hold. We just put it on hold. Now, I'm going to tell you this. God is always speaking. But ask yourselves, are you listening? I mean, there's various ways we can listen. I mean, we can listen through his word. The most practical answer, which we can get so much from, and I think we can never have enough, so many ways to listen to him through his word. Maybe it's a sermon. Maybe you can hear God, you can listen through a sermon, maybe through me, maybe from Jeremy, or maybe anyone, sermon, maybe a song, maybe the lyrics. I don't know. Maybe through a friend. That's a cool one. God works in our friends, maybe even an enemy. Who knows? God can speak through anyone, maybe the least person you'd expect. And even through trials. Did you know that? He can speak through trials. God is always speaking to us. But are you listening? Why is it so hard to listen? Well, that's a dumb question. Not listening is easier, right? Right? Well, sadly, that's what we tend to say to ourselves. I have another story. So, we go to up north every year, and now we go to a different place now, but we went up north, and I was maybe like 10, 12. And I would always look forward to rowing in a boat with my aunt. And we would always go. We would always, I was always excited. I would love to row the boat. It's a workout, but it's very fun. And we'd always make it to this bay. And I don't know how long, but we would stay there for a while. And 15:30, may it could have been an hour for all I know, but we would just sit there. We would sit there in complete silence, and I'll never forget it. It's just the silence. We would hear all the birds chirping, the frogs, and just the wind. It was just complete. It was amazing. You're away from the world and everything, and in God's presence and creation, sounds creation. And sometimes I think maybe we just need to sit in his presence. But I think most importantly, to listen to God, there's one thing we need. What is it? Well, I think it's we need faith. Well, in James 1, God says to not be hearers, but doers of the word. What good is the Bible if we're not applying to anything in our lives? I mean, there's so much noise in life. So many and so many different voices that veer our mindset off track. I mean, having faith, it's hard. Having faith is hard. No one said being in Christ is easy. Actually, the moment you accept Christ into your life, boy, you're getting something. It's a roller coaster. I mean, God places us in tough situations to the point where maybe you wonder why does he do this? I mean, this happened to me. I've had tragedy in my life, and but I ask God why? Just why are we doing? But something I've well, God ha always has a plan, and something I've learned is that there is no tragedy. God's timing is perfect. There is no tragedy. God's timing is perfect. In Jeremiah 33:3, God says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." Wow. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty dangerous verse. I mean, it's totally awesome, don't get me wrong, but like, wow. Because sometimes he won't always answer you in the way you expected. I mean, God tells us little 12-year-old boy about the punishing of Eli's house forever, and he's supposed to just tell Eli this, and I can only imagine what he's thinking. He's going to Eli, Eli, and Eli's finally got it out of him, but I can imagine the fear. And it's just God does will answer you in different ways than you expect. It's and his way is always better. But just remember, God will always answer you. But you remember, as I said, his plan is always better. So, how do we experience God's voice? Well, as we look through, ask the Lord. Number one, listen to what he says. And thirdly, don't be hearers, but doers. Now, before moving on, I feel like I was inspired by Luke Myers. Let's have a halftime. I feel like we don't have a halftime in a sermon, but Why don't we all stand up and greet someone in the pew next to you? Just greet someone in the pew next to you, see how their day is going. How you doing, Timmy?
You didn't say anything about that. I mean, it didn't go far. I know. Yeah, that is true.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to move my legs and in a long sermon, I just need a talking to someone can be. Okay. Thank you, Luke. Okay, so moving on. So I was actually talking about this topic, and about the voice of the Lord with my aunt. I was talking to her about the voice of the Lord, and she brought me to this passage in Psalm 29. It's just a very beautiful passage. I mean, this is out of, I've been interested recently going into the Psalms a lot more after this. It's just, I love Psalms. I would totally recommend it. But I'm just going to read the whole chapter of verse of chapter 29. It says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare." That's seven times. Here, repeats that phrase, the voice of the Lord. So it must be important. So, how do we know that it's God's voice we're hearing? Well, it says here, the voice of the Lord will give strength to his people and will bless his people with peace. You know what that sounds like to me? What? If you know it, say it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We will experience all these things when God speaks. I mean, God says that we will know his voice in John 10. So I'm just going to go there very quick. In John 10, he says we'll know his voice. So John 10, if you want to go there or not, it's okay. But I'm starting in verse 1. John 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow. They follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger, they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So at this time, I want to ask Josiah and Jonathan to come up here, please. We'll put one on here, one on this side. We're going to do a little activity here. So first, Josiah, you can sit down. Yes, feel free to sit down. Okay. So first, you can sit there for a while. Josiah, please close your eyes and no peeking. I didn't bring a blindfold, but I'm just going to trust you. So I'm going to have a series of three things. And you have to just tell me what it is, okay? Yeah, close enough, close enough. That's good. That's a maraca.
Forgot the name, but it's kind of close to a flute, but like. Forgot the name.
You know what it is.
Yeah, I know what it is.
You know what it is. Okay. We'll leave it at that. It's called a harmonica, but we'll leave it at that. Okay, now no one will know what this is except people over the age of 40, but maybe. I don't know, maybe. What is that? Want me to play again? Any guesses? Okay, that's fine. Okay, now we're going to go to Jonathan here. And for you, I have had some people this morning, and I took voice recordings, and one of them is my voice. You have to distinguish which one is my voice. Okay? Okay, I brought here. Let's put this up. There we go. Okay, ready? And they're just going to play right after each other. It's one, two, or three. Here, let me get this up. Okay, ready?
Hey, I'm really Nathan. Hello, this is Nathan. Hey, it's Nathan.
Jonathan, which one was me? One, two, or three? Would you like me to play? I wasn't gonna replay it because you weren't listening. So just remember, listen. But which one was it? Two? Okay. Actually, good job. Everyone clap for Jonathan. Okay, you can sit down. You can sit down. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Okay. Okay, thank you guys for coming up here. Well, there was this is an analogy that I brought. Well, it kind of went a little off because he didn't know it, but Josiah, he came up here and we had two that he, let's just say he knew. He knew what they were. It was the shaker and the harmonica. He knew that. Just think of that like the, and he didn't know what that last one. Does anyone know what this is called? Anyone? Sure. I think of it like a noisemaker. A noisemaker? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so he didn't know that one. That was the one he definitely didn't know. He at least knew some of the other. But that's what I kind of think sometimes these days that happens. We don't know. He didn't know those that one voice, but he knew that those other two, right? That's the voice of the Lord. We know his voice. We will know his voice. Love, joy, peace. I'm going to focus on those three. Love, joy, peace. We know those voices. But we didn't know that other one. That's the enemy. We don't know that voice. Now, as we've seen, Jonathan, he came up. And he was looking for my voice. So think of my voice right now. He was looking for my voice. Think of it like the voice of the Lord. He's looking for the voice of the Lord. And he guessed two. And Jonathan, you didn't get it right. Good job. I did say it was right, but it wasn't. Because that's what the enemy says. The enemy says you have the right voice. But actually, I'm going to tell you right now, none of those voices were mine. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mr. Hartle. And thank you, Josiah. Okay. And so that's what the enemy tries to do. And I'm just going to read a verse in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So he can trick us. He can really trick us. He's a sneaky dude. He's smart, but he's sneaky. And I think this analogy fits perfectly. It's just, yeah. And we just, sometimes we're worried. I mean, I think this for myself too. We don't know what our, if we're listening to our own voice, if it's God's voice, if, we don't know. Sometimes we just don't know whose voice we're listening to. But just like I said, we have, just take the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and so on. But focus on those three. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So how can we experience the voice of the Lord? Again, ask the Lord. Listen to what he has to say. Third, don't be hearers, but doers. And fourth, identify the fruits coming from this voice. So I'm going to close with prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for these moments where we can take away. I mean, sometimes I think we just need to take an application away. And thank you for those times. And Lord, thank you that we can know that what voice we have, and that is from you. Thank you, Lord. And bless this time today as we go home. And bless our minds and souls. In your name, pray, amen. So I think at this time we will... Me and my uncle, we will play a closing song. It's called Let Us Exalt His Name Together. It's a great song. And I think after we have cookies, not cookies, we have ice cream, sorry, to make your hopes up. But We have ice cream after.
Bold am I, will bless thee. His praise shall be my mouth. My soul make its boast in the Lord. The humble man shall hear of him. The afflicted shall be glad and joy with me to magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Angels of the Lord encamps around those fierce's name to save and deliver them from harm. The lions roar with hunger, we lack for no good things. No wonder then we praise him with our song. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Come, children, now hey, hear me. If you will sing a lie, just keep your lips from wickedness and lies. And turn from evil, seek peace instead of strife. Love righteousness and God will hear your cry. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Praises magnify the Lord.
All right. Well, let's enjoy the fellowship time together. So thank you.